This is Katie Harth with Mission Network News, and today I've got my friend Rob Myers on the line from Door International. He's been in North Africa recently, so we're going to talk about some updates there, and then the International Week of the Deaf is coming up in September, so we'll hit that too. But Rob, let's start in North Africa. As I understand, this is kind of a new area of work for Door. Can you start us off by explaining why you were there recently and kind of what you guys have in mind?
Sure. As some people may be aware, Door actually works in two different areas of ministry within deaf communities. One of them is we work in sign language Bible translation. So out of the 350 sign languages around the world, none of them have a complete Bible, and only one has the New Testament right now. And only about 30 have any published scripture at all. So this is a huge area of need. And particularly in areas in the Middle East, in North Africa, in Central Asia, there is not a lot of work that has been going on. But we have been invited by a particular deaf community to begin to explore options for beginning a Bible translation among their community in that Middle East, North Africa region. And so we were asked to come and share some about our experience, and then see how what we could do in assisting them with starting a Bible translation. And they were incredibly excited. We heard many stories from them about challenges that they have had in terms of trying to understand scripture through written language. In the country where we were at, the main spoken language is Arabic. And the Van Dyke Arabic written translation is very difficult for many deaf people to understand. And so we actually showed them several examples of a completely different sign language. And many of them commented saying, even though that was not their sign language, they could, because it was so visual, they could understand that translation so much better than anything that they had had access to try to read up until that point. So we are excited about the possibility of partnering with several organizations in trying to help this particular community begin to do Bible translation in their own sign language. One thing many people may not be aware of, deaf communities, people who use sign language as their first language, typically constitute about 1% of a total population. So if you had a country, say, of 100 million people, then approximately 1 million of those would generally be deaf. However, in countries where there's a lot of inter-family marriage, and that's very true in Muslim communities, that number actually goes up considerably, because a lot of, sometimes deafness comes through genetic expression, and when families intermarry, then you get a lot of recessive genes that are expressed. And so the estimates in some Muslim countries tend to be much higher, more like 4 or 5%. So in that case, as an example, if that country had 100 million people total, then you're looking at more like 4 or 5 million deaf people instead of just 1 million deaf people. In coming to this country and talking with some of the deaf leaders, I had a very interesting conversation with one of them. And they actually talked to me about some of the stigmas that exist in the Muslim community, in the Muslim world, toward deafness. And there's a very interesting reason that he gave for that. So there are several references to deafness in the Quran. But what's interesting is that in every single one of those references, it's not actually a physical deafness. it's a reference to choosing to refuse to hear or refuse to listen. So in other words, it's like saying somebody was deaf to my pleas instead of saying somebody was deaf and actually physically couldn't hear me. And in all of those references, it's actually used in reference to not listening to God or not obeying God. And what's happened over the years is that reference to deafness has actually been therefore associated with unbelief, because that's the implication of the passage, that if people are not listening to God, then they're not believing that they're unbelievers. And so, unfortunately, over the years, one of the stigmas that has developed then is that deaf people are naturally unbelievers, because the reference there to the reference in the Quran actually is the same word. It's the same concept that they use when they're describing people who can't hear, deaf people. So unfortunately, that creates a lot of stigmas. You can imagine that if a deaf person is naturally viewed as, you know, an infidel, as an unbeliever, it creates a lot of problems for deaf people within the Muslim community. Now, this is not a universal belief by people in the Muslim world, but it is a stigma that a lot of people have to fight, deaf people have to fight against. And many parents of deaf people end up not sending their children to school, keeping their children at home. The rate of formal education within Muslim communities is actually very low. And there's been a push recently to really try to see more deaf schools started in some of these countries to make sure that deaf people have access to some form of language, because in many, many, many cases they haven't.
So I'm gonna interrupt if that's okay and ask a question here. We typically in Muslim countries there's a low percentage of believers anyway, and that's true within deaf communities also. So when you have a deaf community within a wider Muslim community, how are you guys finding local believers to partner with?
That is a great question. There are some deaf people who have grown up in the church. There are some deaf people who began as hearing and lost their hearing, or are hard of hearing and have a little bit more access to scripture. So there are pockets of deaf communities. There's also been work that has been done by some international deaf ministries in some of these areas and starting some deaf churches. So there are small pockets of work that have taken place that have led to people coming to know the Lord. But you're right that even in the number of deaf people who know Christ, estimated even here in the U.S. is less than 2%. And so when you get into a community where even the Christians typically have much more difficulty accessing scripture, when you add deafness on top of that, it makes it very, very difficult for people to have any sort of gospel access at all.
So what are your Door's next steps? You've described kind of, I guess, the starting point where you're working with other ministries and local believers trying to get something off the ground, but where does it go from here?
We actually have plans with another partner organization to hopefully be able to begin translation work within the next year. We would love to see them begin with what we call chronological Bible translation. That's translation of key passages of scripture that will give deaf people an overview of what's what the Bible says. Hold on, sorry, let me back up here. Our goal is to start with a chronological Bible translation. That Bible translation would allow deaf people to have full access to certain portions of Scripture that really help them understand the overarching story of how God's interacted with humanity since the beginning of Scripture up through the time of Christ and even into the early church. It's different than a typical book-by-book translation where we would start with one book and translate that entire book from beginning to end. Instead, we pick select chapters and do translation of those. It's a very innovative process, but it gives deaf people and deaf communities the foundation of knowledge that they need in order to really have full access and understand the story of Scripture through the Bible. So within the next year, we hope to see that translation begin. And then the plan would be that within another year and a half, their communities would begin to have access to some of that translated Scripture, and it would begin to be able to be used both within hearing churches who have deaf people coming, as well as established deaf churches that are within the country. Our ultimate hope would be to also be able to come alongside these deaf leaders and begin to do training for them in evangelism and church planting to be able to empower and support them in that work. But we'll take it one step at a time.
Definitely. And I guess before we transition and talk about the Deaf on a global scale with the upcoming International Week of the Deaf, many of our, obviously, listeners are hearing people, but readers too. How would you ask them to support or come alongside your work in the MENA Central Asia region?
Yeah, so one of the first things that we would ask people to do is pray. And we hear that a lot from a lot of ministries, but prayer really is one of the keys to unlocking gospel access in communities that for thousands of years have never had access to Scripture. You have deaf people in these regions who have even lived within range of a church, within the shadow of the church. Even in some of these Muslim contexts, you have deaf people who've seen churches, but if they were to enter that church, they would have no gospel access because of the language barriers that are there. And that is a physical barrier, but it's also a significant spiritual barrier. And the enemy doesn't want to see these communities begin to be reached with the gospel. So we actually have a prayer initiative that's going on that we call 3-2-1 Pray. It's actually based on Romans chapter 15. Verse 21, and I should have had that prepared here. Hold on one second. Let me pull it up because I think I want to make sure I read it.
Yeah, no problem.
So that prayer initiative is based on Romans chapter 15, verse 21, which is Paul talking. And Paul says, "But as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand." And that's true for deaf communities around the world. They've never been told of him, but ultimately we want them to see, and they've never heard of Christ before, but we want them to understand. That reference of Romans 15:21, in military time, 15:21 would be like 3:21 p.m. So we've been encouraging people to set their clocks, set an alarm at 3:21 each day, and just spend a minute praying for deaf communities around the world. So we call that initiative 3-2-1 Pray. At 3:21 in the afternoon, we would love to see as many people as possible be praying for these communities.
Awesome. We'll direct people to the links on your website for more information. If it's okay with you, we'll transition to the International Week of the Deaf or Deaf Awareness.
Let me go ahead and add one more thing that may that may also it may already transition it. But International Week of the Deaf is the last full week of September, and it's sponsored by the World Federation for the Deaf. And World Federation for the Deaf actually just had its Congress that they hold every 3 years in Paris earlier this month. And the theme for that Congress was Sign Language Rights for All. And this sort of, this is the tie-in to what we were seeing previously within some of these countries and the challenges that deaf communities have. Many people think of deafness as a disability, and it is. It causes people not to be able to physically hear. But most people who become deaf before they acquire language, what happens is that they suddenly become cut off from spoken language and written language, and therefore they have no language access at all unless they're given sign language. And this is the challenge that a lot of deaf people face in some of these countries that we were describing. One country that I'm aware of, the statistics say that 97% of deaf people have no access to formal education, and 99% of them don't even know their own sign language. So in other words, they have no language access at all. And it becomes challenging. You can imagine trying to share the gospel with somebody who may not have access to scripture, but imagine trying to share the gospel to someone who doesn't even have access to a language. And that's the case that we find in deaf communities in many of these countries. And so, and that comes from some of the stigmas that exist within those communities. One thing that I definitely wanted to emphasize is, lest we feel like this is isolated to the Muslim community, it's not. In fact, even up until recently, many Christian communities felt like deaf people could not be saved. One classic verse that was used to justify this was Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 13, where Paul says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in him who they haven't heard of?" And that term here, many people have interpreted that literally and say, well, deaf people can't hear, so they can't believe, and therefore they can't be saved. And that verse was meant for many years used as a proof text, even within the church, that deaf people can't be saved. We know, based on proper study of that, of the word there, is that Paul didn't mean people who can't physically hear. He meant people who've never been informed of the gospel before. And so that's our desire to see changed within all of these communities. And our hope is that the International Week of the Deaf would be another highlight, even within the church, to help the church understand that this is not just, it is a disability rights issue, but it's a really, it's an issue of equal access to the gospel for every single person on this earth. And you have deaf communities who for thousands of years have never had access to the gospel before. And now we, as the church, have the opportunity to correct that. We can see that changed. We can see communities who've been cut off because they haven't even had been given language, much less been given the scripture in their language. We can now see them equipped with Bible translation. We can see their leaders equipped to lead and advance the church within their own communities, and ultimately see the gospel spread within these deaf communities worldwide.
And you just bridged that gap perfectly for me, so thank you for that. I have a question in regards to language. And, you know, Bible translation, it's pretty straightforward, pretty easy to understand, I think, why the deaf need God's word in their sign language in order to understand. But The other component of your ministry is church planning and leadership training. Can you help us understand why that's a focus for you? Why does that need to be in sign language as well as the Bible translation work?
Sure. Maybe a great illustration of this is a comment that a deaf leader once made to me. He had grown up within the church, and he'd had a very skilled interpreter who had every Sunday would get up with the pastor and would interpret the message that was being given. And this leader, as he sat in the church pews, became excited about the gospel message, but he realized that in that context where he was sitting in the church, he would never have the opportunity to use his gifts, the gifts that God had given him to teach, to preach, in a way that he felt like could be effective for the kingdom. He told me, I sit there and I am a ministry of the church, but I don't want to be a ministry of the church. I want to be a minister of the church. And so the only way that can happen is for me to be able to serve in a context where I can use my first language. If you imagine, if you had, for instance, anybody who's listening to this, if you had 3 or 4 Spanish speakers in your church, and they didn't know English, and no one in your church spoke Spanish except for a translator, that translator could give them some access to what was happening on a Sunday morning. But those Spanish speakers could never really be fully integrated into the church in a way that they could use their gifts unless there were no language barriers. If you contrast that with having those 4 Spanish speakers be in a Spanish congregation where they're fully using the knowledge they have in the language that's their first language, there are no barriers there, and they can freely teach and preach and see people come to the Lord and grow in their faith in that context much easier than in any case where they would have to work through an interpreter. So ideally, we want to see deaf leaders be able to lead in their first language, and that happens within contexts where deaf people are meeting together. Deaf leaders are leading, teaching, and sharing the gospel in their heart language. That can't happen without God's word in someone's language, and that's why we have a focus on Bible translation. But Bible translation is not our only focus. In fact, at our heart and our core, even historically, DOOR has been in evangelism and church planting, really a deaf leadership development organization, because we know ultimately the gospel comes not through just words, but through a person into another person's life. And so we want to train deaf leaders to be able to take the gospel and bring it into these communities to truly become, as Jesus said, the word becoming flesh, just in the same way that we are all ambassadors of the gospel. Deaf communities and deaf leaders need their own ambassadors of the gospel too.
And my final question for you, how would you like people to respond to this story?
So in addition to praying, we would love anybody who has a heart, particularly for the Muslim world, but also for deaf communities around the world, we would love to have them reach out to us. You could get more information on our website, doorinternational.org. If you'd love to help us advance this work, in addition to your prayers, we would love to see your financial support, and we can provide more information when you reach out to us through our website.